On a very special edition of the Lion's Den, we talked to Monty Panesar, the former England cricketer. Monty recently appeared at the Cambridge Union and sat down to speak with us after the event. Okay, so here we are with Monty Panesar. Monty has just finished speaking at the Cambridge Union, and I have to say, what a pleasure it is to be talking to you in person. This is the first in-person interview I've done, I think, since October, perhaps. How good does it feel as a public figure to be once again out meeting your fans and talking to them in person?
Yeah, look, I think it's very important for me because Ilse fans that, you know, where I was as an England career, and it's my way of giving back, you know, to my fans.
Fantastic. And I'm curious as to, so here we obviously, it's the Cambridge Union. I'm curious as to your experience of Cambridge. Maybe have you been here before? I know the university plays the county sometimes. Did you ever come here and play against any of the university sides in your time in county cricket?
Yeah, I played against Cambridge University at Fenners, and Loughborough used to always beat them. And Fenners has always been a great place to play cricket, and a lovely wicket there. And the pitch was, yeah, fantastic to bowl on. I used to always get the ball to turn. Somehow Loughborough won every game. They won, I think, all the games.
I think that's still the case today. I mean, we've played a lot against Loughborough twice this year. They've beaten us pretty handily both times. And it doesn't surprise me that you got a lot of wickets, because even today, Fenners turns quite a lot. I think there was a game there a few weeks ago where I think 75 was the first innings in a T20, all because of spins. I'm sure you did enjoy it fully. Take me back to your debut. Obviously, you've been asked a lot tonight about getting Sachin out and et cetera. So maybe I won't ask you that, but the significance of your debut coming against India and in India as well, based on, you know, your family and that connection you have there. So I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, look, I think it's a very interesting one. You know, it's like a Sikh boy playing for England, and then, you know, the Indian sort of background that I have. I think that blends in really well. It's sort of more of a celebration for the for the diaspora population, you know, who are out of India and being very successful. And I think that's what is especially with the history, you know, of how the Eastern, a young Eastern company, you know, came to India, offered to help, and then, you know, how it kind of like, you know, the British Empire was, and then how they left. It's a way of, for the people in India to think, actually, you know, all over the world, we are a successful identity. And this is one of many other reasons around the world, you know. You look at Kamala Harris, her sort of history, you know, her mother was from India, went to America, and, you know, here we see, Indian American, you know, one of the most powerful women in the world. And I think that's what it is, you know. I think Indian people around the world feel very proud of people in Western countries doing well. It's a mark of, you know, a celebration, and also that we, you know, are a group of people who are successful, not in just sports, in many other aspects as well.
Was there any tension in your family? Any Indian fans maybe a little bit annoyed at you when you got Sachin out?
Yeah, look, I remember my family saying, you know, it doesn't matter who wins, because we support India and England. It doesn't matter. We're the winners. In the end, family were the winners.
That's very diplomatic of your family. You spoke a little bit about how maybe going forward in sports, coaching wasn't for you, broadcasting and media, and you're now studying to become a journalist. That's more your forte. You did try a little bit of coaching. Am I right in saying in 2017 you did some work with Australia? You were a spin bowling consultant. And to me, it seems crazy, because I did some research before talking to you, and in 2006, Duncan Fletcher called you the best finger spinner in the world. And Andrew Strauss also has said that you had one of the best work ethics on the England team. So to me, it seems quite strange that maybe you haven't had that opportunity to fulfill that coaching role with England. Was there ever that possibility? Did it ever come up? Or was that Australian job that you did, was that the only really chance you had in the coaching front?
Yeah, that's the only chance I probably had. And coaching hasn't, or I haven't, it's interesting. I find it difficult to coach. And that's why I play club cricket, because club cricket gives me that platform to actually, while I'm on the field, I can coach, I can come to go to training, I can coach people and players around. And I think that gives me that opportunity then, doesn't it, to actually, ask myself the question, do I want to coach? By playing club cricket, then it kind of like helps me to meet people from different ages, different backgrounds, talk to them. They're talking about their game from a different aspect, and then that gets me the conversation of co-coaching happening. But if you ask me straight away, look, do you want to coach here? I don't know why it doesn't. I don't get drawn to it as much as I get drawn to media broadcasting and journalism. I think I like probably talking about the game more and presenting about it than maybe coaching about it.
Okay, talk to me about the media then, because so I mentioned two very prominent figures there, obviously Duncan and Andrew, who were singing your praises. The media tends to, sing your praises when you're doing well, and it can they'll kick you when you're down. So I'm curious as to your relationship with the media, because obviously you are very highly respected within the game, and obviously by lots of journalists as well. But there definitely were journalists that would have focused maybe on, your fielding or your batting. You made a joke downstairs about having big hands but not being able to catch the ball. So I was wondering, how has your relationship with the media been, both positive and negative, and how will you use that going forward in your future career?
Yeah, look, I remember when I went to a press conference, I used to answer the same questions but four different ways and just mix the answers. And when I was at Old Trafford, they already wrote down my answers. So when they wrote all my answers already down, it was me, I had to reflect on that. I was thinking to myself, how do I work with the media? Like, I need to give them something. I can't just keep, mixing the answers up. So I think going forward, even with media, it's like, if you're interviewing someone, if you're, what's the agenda? Do you want to ask them really tough questions so you write a real harsh story about them? Or are you going to ask them nice questions so you build a rapport and then you can actually, after that, write a nice article? Because if you get labeled very quickly of writing really good piece, but actually the person who you interviewed was like, well, gosh, I'm not going to ask him to interview me again. That was a, I'm not happy with what he's written here. So you can very quickly get isolated. And we remember that, Lance Armstrong investigation, right? That journalist now actually works in Ireland now. He's not part of any British media team because he investigated and he was great. He went through all that investigation. But there comes a point, even in the journalist world, if you're going to single yourself out to be the guy who's going to write the biggest features or get a great interview and put something together amazing, but it's, written in a harsh manner, then you're going to soon lose friends very quickly because it's about helping each other, in the journalist world. Right, okay, I'm going to write an angle on this, you write on this. And, if you're going to, slightly go against the grain, then you're kind of known, you kind of like quickly get known as like the untrustworthy person because you are writing something that you are so passionate about, but it may not be in line with the values and the code of ethics when it comes to your organization. So you've got to, be within that umbrella as well.
So it's really refreshing to hear you say that you always wanted to give the media something, that it was important to engage with them, because I've experienced this a little bit as well. Sometimes when you interview figures of interest, like you say, there's just the same rote answers, repetitive. They see the media as a chore. It's just, and you mentioned earlier, you talked in the about Naomi Osaka, and people see it as being punched rather than an integral part of the game, but you clearly don't see that. You see that as the media, as something that it is important to engage with, as something that is really important. Why is that? Why do you differ maybe from so many of your former colleagues?
Well, the thing is, right now, you're interviewing me, someone else interviews me. If you all ask the same questions, you might as well just sit together then. You might as well sit together and ask the same questions, right? Now, you as a journalist, you probably want to know, you're probably asking questions, but inside there, you're probably thinking, what's my headline here, right? You're thinking, well, where's my headline? But I will give you the headline to make your job easier.
Yeah,
And that's how the relationship works.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. Anyway, it's really refreshing to hear you be so open, because I've certainly had my tough share of difficult interviews and difficult to get things out. But thank you very much. You've been an absolute pleasure to talk to.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Lion's Den. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow The Bluebird on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to keep up to date with the world of Cambridge sport.